Rabbi, so we're going to be learning a very, 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 very important halacha tonight. It's a story in its own, how Zoyche to be Yoyosh, a machza, which is inherited not from my grandfather, not from my great-grandfather, from my great-great-grandfather. And it's very interesting, there's many chidushi din in that machza, it's very interesting. And it's very precious to me. It gives me a lot of chizik to see a machzor which was used by. And I took it once to shul on Yom Tov, only once indeed. And when I came back, it was on Yom Tov morning. And when I came back, I put it after using it, I put it in a shtickel on the side a little bit. I didn't want everybody to. You know, it's precious to me. I didn't want to take it home because I was going to be using it by Yom Tov night anyway. So I kept the shtickel on the side and I made sure by putting a few sforim on top, a few sforim on the side. I was trying to keep it safe. Now, what happened was when I came back in the evening, it's been misplaced and I could see it was used and I could see, you know, those machzorim, that you have to be very gentle with them. Ancient machzorim over 100 years, you have to look out. And I could see that it was mishandled a little bit. I found it eventually, but it was mishandled. The question that I'd like to address tonight, amongst other shailas, the person who saw this machzor and used it or looked at it, was he allowed to? Was he allowed to take it and maybe use it without my permission, or was he not allowed to? This, amongst other shailas, such as the shaila, if you see a talis, which is a personal talis, not talis shel kohol, which belongs to the keila, we spoke about it last week, b'siyata d'shmaya. And we said the relevant halachas. But if it's a privately owned talis, which is kept in a place, are you allowed to take it and use it or not? By the way, with regards to the talis shel kohol, I must make an additional comment to that. We learned last week, the Mishneh Berurah that says, talis shel kohol, you can just take it, you can make a bracha on it. And it's not what Mishneh Berurah suggests you should make a bracha on a talis which belongs to the... On a communal talis, you should take and you should make a bracha. We pointed out that doesn't seem to be the minhag, but that's definitely what the Mishneh Berurah paskens. I checked a bit over Shabbos, and I saw Shlomo Zalman says, he points out in this Mishneh Berurah, without explaining, he says the minhag is certainly not like the Mishneh Berurah. If you're going to an aliyah and you're taking a talis, and you're just taking a talis, you're not making a bracha, says Shlomo Zalman. I also found out the Gates of Psak is also like that. You pask, like the Shari Fram that is mentioned on the side, you will not make a bracha, unlike the Mishneh Berurah. Again, the Mishneh Berurah paskens that you should make a bracha. If you just take a talis and you have an aliyah, you make a bracha, but the minhag seems to be, and that's what's confirmed by Shlomo Zalman and the Gekank Gates of Psak, that the minhag is not so. So going back to the earlier shailas, what is the halacha? Can you take somebody else's item without permission if it's left in shul? Yes. Good question.
Is it because of being a burden on the Sibba?
I'm not sure. Shlomo Zalman does not explain it thoroughly. There's maybe a potential thesis why it may have to do with the fact that somebody suggested that it may have to do that the talis shel kohol may not always be so kosher, and we don't want to. And so the minhag has become not to make a bracha on it. Questionable if that's the reason, or maybe another reason is because of potential shailas with regards to ownership, which may also be a potential shaila. So whatever the reason may be, the minhag seems to be, and we know that minhag Yisrael din, minhag Yisrael is a halacha, and the minhag seems to be generally not to make a bracha. Could also be tichel tzibur, somebody mentioned last week, I think somebody mentioned tichel tzibur. That could also be potentially a reason. If so, you have an aliyah l'toyre and you start making a bracha, it's going to take another, and we find in the Gemara that Tichel Tzibur is even for a very short amount of time, so maybe that could be various theses why the minhag has become like that. But it's unlike the Psak of the Mishneh Berurah. Let us see what the Shulchan Aruch says in Sif Dalet, Simen Yudalet, Sif Dalet. Mutar Litoil. It is permitted to take Talas Chaveiroi. You are allowed to take a Talas of your friend. Velevorech Oleo, and to make a bracha on it. Yes, you can take a Talas and make a bracha on the talis of your friend. Ubilvat, with one condition. Sheikapel oiso, you should fold it in motzome kupeles. If you found it folded, you're allowed to take it, you can make a bracha on it, but ensure that when you're putting it back, you're folding it the way it was when you took it. The Gemara continues, and he says, "V'hu adin betfilin." The same halacha will be regards to tefillin as well. So if you're going to shul and you know that this tefillin belongs to, you're going to your place, you know this tefillin over here belongs to somebody who's davening at the later minyan. You're davening the early minyan. He's davening a later minyan. You know it doesn't clash at all. And you forgot, you realize suddenly, oh no, I forgot my tefillin at home. The halacha is you're allowed to take that person's tefillin. You can use it. You can use that tefillin without having asked explicit permission. You can take the tefillin. You can use it and put it back. As long as he finds it in the same, as long as he finds it when he gets, you are allowed to use it without permission. Why is that so? Where does that come from? And the answer is, it's all based on a concept, as the Mishneh Berurah in Sifkot Yud Gimel says. The concept is, Sifkot Yud Gimel Mishneh Berurah says, Talis Chaveiroi, says the Mishneh Berurah, Peirosh Shaloi Midaitoi, without permission. And the concept, the underlying concept behind all this halacha is, it is good for a person. It is a person is happy. Leinish to a person, the leavet mitzvah, that a mitzvah should be performed bememoine with his money or his possessions. So your person is always happy when you own a talis, when you own a tefillin. You are happy. Somebody makes use of it and does a mitzvah with it. You're happy. So just as you'd be happy to give somebody to lend somebody your item that mitzvah should be performed with it. Similarly, you can also assume that if there's a talis lying around, if there's a tefillin lying around, you can then assume that this yid is also happy, like you'd be happy to share it with somebody else. He's also going to be happily sharing it with you, lending it to you, and you can take the talis, you can make a bracha. And you can take the tefillin, you can make a bracha, and afterwards put it back. Why is that? The nichle le'inish le'me'av mitzvah memoneh. Yes?
I think you mentioned last week that if it was a particularly special talis,
yeah,
the person might not like it. The same with
good.
A safer talis or tefillin.
Very good.
Supposing it's been in the family or
very
the
good.
Gadol, the person might want
very good. This is all very true and very valid points. So although the rule of nichle le'inish le'me'avet mitzvah v'moynei is a true fact, and it's a psak, and it's paskan in Shulchan Aruch v'en tziv talet. However, there's quite a lot of exceptions. Some of them we're going to be seeing now shortly in the Mishneh Berurah and even in the Ramah. So yes, there are exceptions. Sometimes you cannot assume they can just take it and use it. Let us see what the Mishneh Berurah says of here, the first condition that he says. V'davka be'akoy, says the Mishneh Berurah. First of all, we need to know the condition is that's only if it's irregular. Once off. But if you just can't afford, you don't want to buy a new set of, say somebody hasn't got a pair of tefillin, and he likes that pair of tefillin that is lying around, where somebody davens a little bit later, and he doesn't want to buy himself a new pair of tefillin, or he hasn't got a talis at all, he prefers to keep his talis at home. And you know, my friend's talis, such a nice talis, I love that. Silva Atar is really, it just makes it, I like wearing it. And you know, your davens, he only comes an hour later, and he's not going to clap. I can use it every single day. How about that? Using it every single day. So the halacha is, davke be'akoy. You can only rely on nichlele inish, l'mavet mitzvah moinei, if it's once off. If it's regular, the rule does not apply. Be'akoy, avol bekvias also, if it's regular, you can't. You can't use it regularly. Of course, we all fully appreciate, I understand that. You don't mind lending your tefillin to somebody once off. But if you think, if you were to rely on it, and if you were to, if it would be irregular, it would be a regular type of usage, that every single day would be relying on it, you wouldn't be particularly happy. You wouldn't be particularly happy because that's a very significant use. You wouldn't be happy. You wouldn't necessarily be happy. So you can't assume that somebody's happy with that either. Therefore, davke be'akoy, bekvias would be also. Continues the Mishneh Berurah and he says, even if it is irregular, it's only on that particular place. Yes, you can take the talis once off. Yes, you can take the tefillin once off. If you like that tefillin so much, you want to take it home for the day, you can't do that. You can't take it out of the premises. You can't take it out of shul. Talis and tefillin is being used. Yes, you can use it once off, but make sure to stay right there, not to take it out of the premises. Also to bring it into shul, if you found it elsewhere, that also wouldn't be permitted. Because again, he wouldn't permit it. Could be he doesn't like the fact that you're taking it out of the premises. Right. The question that is interesting question that some poskim want to address is what happens if the item belongs to a koton? What happens if, say, you've got a talis, maybe that's a good example, a talis of a pre-bar mitzvah boy, but he happens to be very tall, you can use it as well. You want to use it once off. You know he's not going to come to shul today. That particular pre-bar mitzvah, this cotton, he's not coming to shul, and it's available, you could just take it. And you need a talis. Can you use a pre-bar mitzvah cotton's item once off in premises, or maybe there the rule of nichle would not apply? What do you think, Rabbi Isai? Right, yeah, okay, leaving out the shayla, say it would be, leaving out the shayla of shaloi. Okay, let's leaving this out. You okay? Right, right. Would be a shayla. Interestingly, the Och Shulchan Paskins and other poskim as well, they say that even a cotton, children are very good-hearted, children are very happy to be makne as well, and therefore the halacha one can also take an item of a cotton. The same rule will apply also, that nichle le'inish by a cotton will apply as well. Right. An interesting shaila, which will lead back to the question that I asked earlier. What if it's kept in a special, in a slightly hidden place? I mean, we can all think in the best matter if the item is kept in a regular place where you sit, where you daven. That's the shayla we're talking until now. But imagine it's a little bit hidden, like maybe the machzor that I mentioned earlier. It's put not in the, just on the table, it's put a little bit aside. And there seems to be an indication that it was put aside, not just on the stander where you daven, a little bit on the side. Does that make a difference or not?
I would say it made a difference and you shouldn't use it.
Very good.
I think the person put it there for a reason.
Very good. Very good. The halacha is the poskim all agree. This nichal le'inish le'mamet mitzvah moine is true on an item that you haven't got any indication that the bailim is makbit. You haven't got any indication that the bailim, the owner, have any objection against it. But if there's a slight indication that the owner doesn't want you to use it, the slight indication, then the halach is you can't use it. So therefore, in my particular machzor, I was very much objecting to anybody touching that machzor. And I definitely put it on a special place because I didn't want anybody to use it. So therefore, there the halach actually would be, because if you put it in a special place, there seems to be an indication that don't use it, don't touch it without permission, and the halach would be actually there, the halach would be that you don't say nichlel and inish, and you can't just use it and take it. A question that Shlomo Zalman was asked was the following. What happens if there's a name, the name that is written on the machzor, in the siddur, on the talis, the fact that it's in bold, you open it up, and you see that it says in bold the name, Yankel Wolkenkranz, and his address. And it says there that, it says your name in bold, and it says maybe, private property, maybe, or not all that welcoming. Some say Rishus Lakoil, you remember in Yeshiva, Rishus Lakoil, or if none of that, it just says bold, big fancy stamp, and it says they're just private property, his name in bold with address. If found, please return, kind of thing. What's that? Does that mean, if someone asked that shayla, does that mean, is that an indication that nichle inish wouldn't apply?
No.
No?
Could do.
Could do?
Private property.
Right, right.
Private property,
yeah. I'll tell you the shayla Reb Shlomo Zalman was asked. Reb Shlomo Zalman was asked about a chair. Somebody who brought himself a chair to Beis Medrash, he didn't like it, wasn't polstered enough, and he wanted a bit more fancy chair. He liked a bit more, he needed a bit more fancy, but it just wasn't quite right. The shul chairs wasn't quite right. So he wanted a bit more comfort. Therefore, he brought himself a comfortable chair. And on the side, it said, in bold, it was like engraved, and it said like, I don't know if it was engraved, or it was like a golden, I'm not quite sure, But then the question was, like, can you use it without permission? A chair in Bais Medrash, can you use it without permission? Posh does not. Why not? It's not a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah. Oh, so we should have addressed this, yeah? Okay, assuming it's a mitzvah, assuming it is a mitzvah. Like, assuming it is a mitzvah. Yeah? Public, private space. Doesn't have the shul to put it there. Mm-hmm. That's an interesting point. Shlomo Zalman doesn't address that, Shaila. Interesting. He doesn't speak about it. Maybe the chair that was normally would have been there was taken elsewhere and therefore they're not taking additional space. Yeah. Shlomo Zalman says that the fact that there's a name on it is actually doesn't mean that you can't use it because of that. He says you can use it. Like by the sefer, if it says private property, you can use it. It's, as long as it doesn't say don't use, don't touch, keep hands off. As long as there's anything like that, you can use it. You can use it. So Rabbi Shlomo Zalman says, yes, a machza, a siddur, which has a name on it, and it's normally regular on a place, you could use it. Now there's a chiddush there, which I should have actually read before, because the chiddush is the following line in the Ramah, and I should have addressed this earlier. Shlomo Zalman goes on this Ramah that we should have read earlier. The Ramah says, "V'yesh machmir sama machmir lehatzrich anoshim shiasu." Excuse me. Aval also lilmoid misforim shel chaveroi beloy daitoy. When it comes to sforim, says the Rama, without the permission, you can't use the chashinim because we are concerned. Shema yikra oisam belimud. Maybe you're going to tear it by mistake. So this over here is the Rama. The Shulchan Aruch says a talis you can use. The Rama initially adds tefillin as well, but then the Rama says with regards to sforim, you cannot use sforim without permission because maybe it's going to tear. So here, I should have explained, and I'm going to do that now, that the poskim say that sforim, or previous sforim, of course, are different than nowadays contemporary sforim. Why? What's the main difference? Exactly. The cost. You can replace it. Right. Irreplaceable nowadays. So although the Mishnah Berurah paskins over here, the Mishnah Berurah says in Sefkot and Tezayin, "Beloi daitoy afilu be'akroi be'alme." So with regards to sforim, don't use them even irregular. The chashinam, because we are concerned, shema yikro behen harbe. Maybe you're going to read a lot of it. Achi iskaru miroi vash mishmosh, and it's going to tear because you're using it so much. Sforim get easily torn, and it's going to be spoiled for oilam noyagin. People are annoying. When somebody finds a siddur or a machzor in shul, people tend to take siddur or machzorim and they daven with it. I don't know what the permission is to use somebody else's siddur or machzor. What's the difference between siddur and sforim of the Ramah? So the Ramah says you cannot use because maybe it's going to tear. And the Mishnah Berurah adds to that siddurim and machzorim, there's no difference. And you cannot, there's no heter, doesn't know what the heter is. Doesn't know what the heter is to nowadays just use sforim and machzorim without permission. On that, that's where Reb Shlomo Zalman comes in. Reb Shlomo Zalman says that surely there is a very big distinction between nowadays contemporary sforim, which there is an umdan, a person wouldn't necessarily mind. If you use my machzor, you use my siddur, you use my chumash, normally people wouldn't mind. People wouldn't mind because they don't really tear, and if they do tear, it's not such a, people are not particularly makpid. It's unlike the sforim, the sidurim, the machzorim of the previous generations. Therefore, Shlomo Zalman is makil that you can use sforim, which are private property in shul, you can use, and therefore the Ein Yodea, the Mishnah Berurah's, to me, his question, where do people allow themselves to use it? Reb Shlomo Zalman said, nowadays it's much cheaper and it's not such a big deal, and therefore there is a permission, according to Reb Shlomo Zalman, to use sforim which are lying around. Pardon? Very good, tefillin. So some people question the psak of the Ramah of tefillin. Rabbi Yisai, what is your feeling about this? It's a good question. The Ramah says you can use somebody else's tefillin. People are not makpid. Some poskim ask, what about tefillin nowadays? Has this changed or not? Do you mind if somebody uses a tefillin once off, carefully? You mind? Yeah? If you put it back nicely, use it once.
Someone who is makpid about them not using it, not leave it lying around in shul.
Right. You think the actual fact that he keeps it filling there seems to indicate that he doesn't mind. What do you think about that svara, Rabbi Yisai?
In a bag.
In a bag, but on the shelf.
What do you think? Tefillin, nowadays different than the most times? They have changed. First of all, they have changed.
But,
also, the way we treat them has changed. We definitely treat them different. It's
definitely...
Right.
So everyone's been exactly the same.
Yes, and even more recently, I was referring to more recently, gasses and dakas, tefillin are different than they used to be.
Yeah.
Right. 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 There's definitely differences. But the question is, what is an average person, will he care, will he not care about using his tefillin?
Okay.
You would care. Would you care?
The biggest difference
is
in the shul.
Right. So locker, Rabbi, so what do you think about the locker, Shaila? If it's like locked away, put away,
it's in a
place that you can just like, what do you think?
I think that would be like the special place.
Absolutely. Definitely. Absolutely. Definitely. There you have a clear indication that you can't rely on the fact that you don't mind. You can't rely on it. It's put away in a place, specific place, that probably you can't just take it. Lemaise, with regards to tefillin, many poskim amachmir. I did see that some are still making nowadays because they say you can't, doesn't have a rule or a mo, which is explicit, but many poskim are machmir, that you can't actually take the tefillin, somebody else's tefillin without permission. I want to point out as well, the rule that the Mishtabura says of it, the Shulchan Aruch says over here, Bilvad shekapal oisei motzu mekupeles. With regards to the talus, there's one condition, which Shulchan Aruch says, is that you should make sure that it's folded back in its place. Folded back, shekapal oisei motzu mekupeles. What about Shabbos? There's a condition. You can only take it if you're folding it. If you're not folding it, can't take it. So what happens on Shabbos? Should you fold it? Can you not take it?
If it's Shabbos, then the person who owns it can't fold it.
That's right. So the person who takes it, he's unfolded it. What should he do with it afterwards? Can he take it and leave it unfolded or not? Folding it, but it's kikipul. Very good. It's very good. But he says kikipul or rishon. It should be folded like in the way it was. So the emphasis is, we should address the Mishnah Berurah over here. It's a good point. Mishnah Berurah says, Sheikapel oiso, kikipul orishon. Really, the way you should put back the talis on weekdays is the same way, folded the same way. Then you found it. Over Shabbos, however, yekapel oiso v'lo kikipul orishon. So the first opinion of the Mishnah Berurah is, mamash like you are saying, that you should fold it, but in a regular way. But the Mishnah Berurah seems to pass cannot like that. Mishnah Berurah ends off with the words of the Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham mekel b'Shabbos shloi lekapel klal. The Mishnah Berurah seems to pass like the Magen Avraham that on Shabbos, yes, you can take it, and even if you don't fold it, it doesn't matter. Don't fold it back; you can just put it back, and I suppose do it as neatly as you can. But you can't take it, although you're not going to fold back. So although the Shulchan Aruch says you should put it back to where you found it, but on Shabbos, yes, although you're not going to put it back to where you found it, nevertheless, you can take the talis. Yeah.
There's not such an issue to fold a used talis.
Yes, that's right. Right, but nevertheless, So the Lamai said the Mishnah Berurah paskens. One more Mishnah Berurah I wanted to see The Shulchan Aruch adds the following halach in Tzif. Hey, talis shel shutfin chayev betzitzis, a talis which belongs to two owners, which is shutfus. Talis which is shared by two owners, chayev betzitzis, just because it's owned by two, doesn't pater, doesn't exempt it from tzitzis. So talis should from chayev betzitzis, tiksiv al kanfei bigdehem, plural loshen, so therefore it seems to indicate that although it's plural, you need to, because it's plural, even if it belongs to two owners, you still need to attach tzitzis to it. There's an interesting Mishnah Berurah over here, the finishing off the siman, that says, at the end of Sif Kotten, Yud Ches, he speaks about the talis which is yashent by talis shenishal ayorish me'ovi, the talis which is yashin from his father, v'sha'ochim akpidim olav, and other brothers don't let him own that talis. They're fighting about a talis of a deceased father. Yesh le'zosh le'levoy cholavat she'ispashu b'neihem. You need to make sure they all have made peace before you use the talis. So because it's owned by two people, they all need to agree, they need to come to a consensus. You can't just take the talis and make a brach on it if the other partner doesn't allow it. That's the Mishnah Berurah paskens over here in Sifkot Yud Ches. Just to wrap up what we learned tonight, we started speaking about the halach of nichle, nichle mavet mitzvah v'moynei, that generally there's a consensus and understanding that a person can use somebody else's object for a mitzvah. We spoke about the talis. Talis, you can use somebody else's talis without permission because that concept applies. Condition number one is that put it back the way you found it. On Shabbos, the Mishnah Berurah is mekel, that you don't have to fold it back. Same halacha applies also with regards to tefillin. Sforim, the Ramah says, is different because we are concerned maybe you're going to tear it. The Mishnah Berurah says all the eterim only apply if it's be'akroi, if it's once off, if it's be'kvias, it's also. And one has to be particularly careful. If there's any indication that the owner does mind, if there's any indication that the owner does not let, such as it's put in a specific place, or there's any other reason to assume that the owner doesn't let, maybe like tefillin nowadays, or maybe like any other very particularly expensive items, then you can't just assume. But if there's no such indication, yes, the halacha is nichle inish l'matzim m'moyne. Just to finish off, an interesting shaila, I think we mentioned it by Hilchos Tikkun Shofar, I just want to briefly mention it very quickly. What about a shofar? Can you take somebody else's shofar? Can you use somebody else's shofar, the blow, not for yourself, because there the halacha would be nichle inish. Take somebody else's shofar on Rosh Hashanah and blow it. But what if you're blowing for a woman who doesn't really, is not really obligated? It's only a chumah for her to hear the tkiyas.
Still a degree of mitzvah.
That's right. Rav Moshe paskens that although she doesn't have real obligation, but the nichle inish goes, so people are so kind, people are so nice, they want everybody to enable even to fulfill chumras, and therefore, yes, one can take a shofar even for women's fulfillment of mitzvahs. That's right.